Let's go to the Lord again in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for your kindness and your love toward us in Christ Jesus. Thank you for your mercy and your grace wherewith that you bestowed upon us your life, eternal life, that you brought us out of darkness into your marvelous light. You blessed us to get a glimpse of our sins and to have a holy hatred for them and have a desire to live in a way that is honoring and pleasing to you. While we realize and know that we still live in the flesh, and when we would do good, evil is present with us. That with the mind we do serve the law of God, and yet there's another law, the law of sin and death, that brings us into captivity. And the warfare shall continue. The pilgrim will continue to have his battle with Vanity Fair. Mr. Haughty and high-minded. Mr. Ready to Halt. Tempted to stray into bypath meadow. Growing weary on the hill difficulty. Sometimes falling into doubting castle. But still, in the midst of all of the trials and the afflictions and the battles, because your grace is effectual in the heart of your children, they continue to press on, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. We may come to the brink of Jordan and have to cross it before our Lord returns. We'll enter into that rest while we wait for the final rest of the resurrected body. We thank you that these are not cunningly devised fables. They're real. And we thank you for the reality of the justifying righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we have a greater appreciation for him, that he would be first and foremost in his cause and kingdom, first and foremost in our lives in every way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we looked at the I Am that is found in John 8:12 and also 9:5, that he is the light of the world. This afternoon we come to the 10th chapter of John, where we find another I Am. In fact, there's more than one in John 10. But the first one is that he said, I am the door. In John 10:7, Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And then in verse 9 again, I am the door by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. He is the door of the sheep. And it is by the Lord Jesus Christ that the sheep of God enter into the life of a Christian. Life is found and is by the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 6:57, we find here, he says, "As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me." And we looked at that verse when we studied him being the bread of life. But when Jesus said that he was the door and that it was by him, notice in John 10:9 again, "I am the door, by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved." Man does not enter into the kingdom of God. He does not enter into life. He does not enter into the salvation of God and many other things. But he does not enter in any way but by him, by the Lord Jesus Christ. He does not enter in by someone saying something to him or someone persuading him to do something. It is by Christ. It is not by another. It is by him. Going to the Father is only by the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 14, in verse 6, we see here, and we'll look at this a little bit fuller later on, but I want the latter part of this. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." No man comes to the Father but by the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice, he said, "No man cometh." He can't go to the Father unless the Lord Jesus Christ call him, unless the Lord Jesus Christ moves on his heart and in any way. We see this same given in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Again, taking up the words of our Lord. Notice this in verse 25. "At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hath revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight." Now notice this. "All things are delivered unto me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father." And then notice this last part. "Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." Now, in this passage that we read, verse 25 is quite strange to the Arminian world. To the Arminian world, God wants everybody to be saved. But Jesus Christ said, "I thank thee," and if you look at Luke's account of this, I did not write down the parallel passage in Luke. But in Luke's version of this, it says, "Jesus rejoiced in spirit that God had hid these things." That God had hid salvation to some people. Now that really would upset the world, wouldn't it? I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Now we can latch on to that he has revealed them unto babes. We're thankful that God has revealed them unto babes, because if he hadn't, we would have been left out, because we're not the wise. We're the foolish, but we're not the wise. But Jesus said he was thankful that God hid them, and then he goes on to say that no one knows the Father except he whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Many years ago, as my children would say, it was in the 70s, everything that ever happened to me of importance, they think, was in the 70s. But the 70s was a very revolutionary time in my life, to say the least. But I heard a man by the name of N. Burnett Magruder. He was a Sovereign Grace minister, and prior to his conversion, his father also, by the way, was a Baptist minister, but prior to his conversion, Brother Magruder was being groomed to be the top man of the Communist Party here in America. He was a very brilliant man, very smart. But he was speaking on this verse. In fact, he was speaking in a school conference where I was teaching in a private school at that time, and they had a school conference, and he was teaching and making some very profound points of how that, well, I'll just kind of digress a little bit. Brother Magruder said, and I believe he's right, that too many people, when they walk into a church building, they put on a religious veneer, and virtually everything that is said during that time, they tune out and do not hear what's being said in most religious meetings. And he said you would probably make a greater impact on a women's flower club, because you would be, if you were to talk to them about the scriptures, because you would be talking to them in their environment of everyday life more, and they probably hear you more there than they would in a church building. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. But he went on to say, and what he was saying by that, he was encouraging the teachers that they would make a more profound effect upon the students in teaching the things of God in among the courses that they were teaching in the Christian school than they realized. And I think a great revival took place in this country in the late 60s, early mid 70s of the homeschool movement. It did quite a bit. But anyway, I won't get off into all of that. But I never will forget him talking about Matthew 11:27. And he said, if you were to take a chalkboard and draw a circle on that chalkboard and say that that circle is the sum total of all of the knowledge of Christ, and that it would be there and nowhere else, and that the sum total of the knowledge of Christ was in that circle, that the only individual that knew the sum total of all of the knowledge of Christ is God. And if you were to say, that circle also is the sum total of the knowledge of God, the only person that would know that is Christ. And out of that sum total of all the knowledge of God, it is Christ that takes that and gives it to us. We don't have the sum total, but of that sum total, the Lord gives that to us. When Jesus said, "I am the door, by me, if any man enter in," it is by Christ that we enter into the understanding of God. It is Christ that takes these things and reveals them unto us. Let's look at some other passages along this same line. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Now I know that Proverbs chapter 8 is talking about wisdom, and some Bible commentators say that this wisdom is Christ. Well, I can see where it could be used to represent Christ, but I think it's just talking about wisdom in itself in a personification of wisdom, but I wouldn't go into a big argument with folks over that. But notice what we find here about wisdom. And truly, wisdom is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, beginning at verse 15. "By me kings reign, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver," and so on. But the thing that we want to bring into this is that it is by me, that it is by God, and it is by the wisdom of God that kings reign. And it is by Him that princes rule. And it is by God that we need rulers. I do not believe in the joining of church and state, but I do believe we need godly men that would rule over us, and men that would rule rightly. I can't say that word right now. That God would rule over us in a just and a right way through men that would seek to rule over us in a just and a right way. And the only way they can do that is by knowing the Scriptures. We don't have a class of men ruling over us that know the Scriptures. We have quite a few men that will quote a few generic verses of the Bible from time to time, and they'll use the name God in a generic way. But when you see how they rule and how they vote, you find that they are not righteous. They are not righteous. I'm not excited when a politician quotes Scripture. What I judge that man by is how he votes and how he aligns himself and who his friends are, and the political programs that he endorses. If the Republicans wanted, I'll just throw this out for what it's worth, if the Republicans wanted to stop abortion, they would have done it years ago. The Republicans don't want to stop abortion any more than the Democrats do. There's not a dime's worth of difference. They mouth a lot, but they don't do anything. That's just an example. That's just an example of what I'm talking about. It doesn't matter what they say. Doesn't matter how much they talk. When it comes down to what a person is, whether they're kings, whether they're princes, whether they're preachers, whether they are the businessman on the street, whether they're a deacon, whether they're the general public that sits in the pew, it is by wisdom, by the truth of Christ, that people enter into the kingdom of God. And if God hasn't moved on them, they will never, ever rule over us in righteousness. In Proverbs 9, verse 11, still talking about wisdom. Wisdom is the wisdom of God. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. It is by wisdom, the wisdom of God. And the wisdom, and this is Christ. Isaiah 46. Verse 3. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. Even to your old age I am he, even to the hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. Just as it was God that watched over Israel and fought their battles for them, it is by Christ that we live and move and have our being. It is by Him that we fight our battles. It is by Him that we live. And it is by Him that we are to be carried from the womb. Think about this. You who are an elect of God, since you were elect, you had to be regenerated, right? And so since you are regenerated and had to be, you had to be born, right? And since you had to be born, you had to have the parents that you had, right? And you had to have the ancestry that you have to have those parents, and so on. You see, we're not here by accident. We're here on purpose. And it is God that has brought us. It is God that has carried us, not only from the womb, but even beforehand, but even in from the womb. It is God that has kept us and kept us alive and kept us to where we would be brought into divine life with Him. That ought to be special to us. That ought to give some meaning where the Lord said that you're of more value than many sparrows. That you're clothed and cared for better than Solomon in all of his glory. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in. By me, if any man enter in. By the Lord Jesus Christ that people enter in. Isaiah 54. We see another along this same line. Verse 15. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whoso shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Isn't that good? Know that we have a God that fights our battles for us. We would have been overcome and have left the Lord long ago if it were not for Him. But it's by Him that we not only enter in once, it is by Him that we continue to enter in and that we continue to press on after the things of the Lord. And then one other in Hosea chapter 8. Hosea chapter 8. Verse 4, they have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. But you can see that we have kings, as it were. We have leaders, but not by Christ. Oh yes, in His sovereignty, He allows them to be set up, and it says that He even sets up the basis of men in authority, but they weren't set up under the guise of the wisdom of God. They were set up under the guise of the politicians of men. Well, we could say more about that, but let's go on to the next I am in John chapter 10, where He says, I am the good shepherd of the sheep. John chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And then in verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. There is only one shepherd, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one name under heaven whereby we must be saved, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He further stated in verse 16, let's read that, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So whether it's Jew or Gentile, there's only one fold. And we find that he further states in this that the sheep know him, they follow him, and they will not follow another. In fact, let's just read some of this. Let's go back up to verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Notice that. The sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they shall know the voice, for they know not the voice of strangers. I've told you about this before, and I'll tell it again. Well, I've got two things. I know I've used them before, but they're good illustrations. In 1972, when I was in Israel, we were riding in Jerusalem in a bus, in a tour bus. And we were on one side of the street, and there was kindly a walkway or a division between the traffic that was going in the other direction on the other side. And there was cars and buses and all sorts of vehicles going both ways. But in the middle of that traffic was an old shepherd bringing his sheep down through there, and he was talking to them, and they knew his voice. They followed him. They didn't get out into the traffic. They knew the voice of the shepherd, and They were in control. I didn't raise sheep. We had a neighbor that had some sheep, and I knew a little bit about sheep from that, but I was raised on a dairy farm. And every morning and every evening, we had to call up the cows. And the cows knew not only my dad's voice, the cows knew my voice. And we would go call the cows, they would come. And when we were milking them, we would be talking to them at various times, especially if they tried to kick us or things of that nature. They knew us. They knew us. But we had a neighbor that I don't remember what happened. I know he was laid up for some reason. And I don't remember whether he was in the hospital or laid up in the house. But I do remember that a bunch of us in the community took time, each family took a different day, and we went to milk the neighbor's cows. And when it come our time, Dad sent me to go milk the neighbor's cows. And I went up there to milk the neighbor's cows. And that was a day's work, I can tell you that. They didn't know me. They didn't want to follow me. They didn't want to do what I wanted them to do. They were nervous around me. They went to the bathroom, both kinds, quite heavily. And they were somewhat anxious to want to kick at me and all of that. Why? They didn't know me. They didn't know the shepherd. They didn't know the herdsman. Jesus didn't put this in for some agronomy reason. He put this in to teach a lesson that a stranger, they will not follow. God's sheep follow the shepherd. They follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The sheep will not follow a stranger. God's people will not worship Buddha, Shinto, and all the other pagan religions of the world. They will not follow a false Christ. Now, I can see where they might, in the beginning of their Christianity and their newness of the faith, they might be still indoctrinated in some of their old ways or some of their pagan ways for a while. But as they read and study the Scriptures, they'll come out of that. Why? Because Jesus is the shepherd, and they follow Him. As previously seen, when we looked at verse 7, He said He was the door, and it was by Him. Verses 7 and 9, it was by Him that they would come out. Not only that, Jesus said that He is the good shepherd, and in verse 11, He says He gives His life for the sheep. He died for the sheep. He didn't die for the whole human race. He only died for the sheep. And it is the sheep that He seeks and saves. And we find that it is both Jew and Gentile that we've already read. Those who are not known by the shepherd in the last day are not sheep. In Matthew 7:23, He said, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." Well, if He didn't know them, they couldn't be His sheep, because the sheep, He knows the sheep. Notice what it says down here in verse 14. "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep." But not only does He know the sheep know Him, it says. Well, He said in Matthew 7, He said, "I don't know you in that last day." Well, if He didn't know them, they're not sheep. What can be plainer than that? What can be plainer? The world thinks that Christ died for the whole human race, but no. He only died for the sheep. And as we see in verse 27, he said, "My sheep, hear my voice. My sheep, hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me." I like that. They hear his voice. They know him. They follow him. Away with this idea that, as Billy Graham said years ago, that God has many ways of saving people. No, there's only one name under heaven given whereby men must be saved. They don't follow Allah. They don't follow the great happy white father going around some totem pole. They follow Christ. They follow the shepherd. Say, well, how can that be? How was it that Abraham rejoiced to see the day of Christ? How was it that Rahab knew of Christ? How was it that she had a revelation? What about Melchizedek? What about others that Scripture may not even tell us about? But I'm confident of this, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, the sheep know the shepherd, and they follow him. Jesus said so here. He made it plain for us to know. Today, the race car driver, when he dies, well, he goes to that great racetrack in the sky. The swimmer goes to the great pool in the sky. The huntsman, the hunter, goes to the great forest in the sky. And you have all such garbage as that. No, no, 1,000 times no. It is the shepherd. And they follow the shepherd. They don't follow the race car. You say, well, can a Christian be a race car driver? I think if he's a Christian, he'll give up his race car driver for the house of God. I don't believe that he'll put his racing ahead of Christ. Why? Because God works effectually in the hearts of his people. My sheep hear my voice. They follow me. They follow me. They won't follow another. Time will not permit us to stop here and do a study on all of the passages regarding Jesus saying to the many and all about following him. But just remember, those who do not follow Christ are not his sheep. Those who do not follow Christ are not his sheep. Notice what he said here in John 10:25. They ask you in verse 24, said, "Are you the Christ? Just tell us plainly if you are." He said, "I've already told you. I've already told you plainly. And you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not because you're not of my sheep." What can be plainer? The reason you don't believe is because you're not my sheep. You say, well, what if a person is not believing today that's one of the elect? Well, today all you can say, he's not a sheep. But tomorrow, if God regenerates him and he starts believing on Christ, then we can say he's a sheep. We can't make sheep, but we can declare them to be when we can see the fruits in them that manifest them to be what they are. But until then, we just have to put them in the class that they appear to be, because we're not God. And Jesus said, you don't believe because you're not my sheep. My sheep, hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Quoted these passages to a man not too long ago that had written in a book that said people that followed Buddha or Muhammad or some of the others, that they would be with God in heaven. I said, how can you say that based on these passages? Verse 28, which we've read, he gives eternal life to the sheep. None but the sheep. He gives eternal life. And in verse 29, it was the sheep that the Father gave to the Son. The Father which gave them me. He gave them, gave the sheep to the Son. Turn with me to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Probably know where I'm going. Talking about in the last day, in the day of judgment. Begin in verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them, the one from the other, as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Notice this. And then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now we see this. We see this clearly. And then He talks about what they did that manifests them to be sheep. They didn't do this in order to be a sheep. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. And then shall the righteous, who's on the right hand, the righteous, the sheep, answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee at hunger, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink, or saw thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, the goats, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and you get, and this manifests them. These are works that manifest what they are. For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in hunger, or thirst, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not unto one of the least of these, you did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. The sheep, life eternal. The goats, everlasting punishment. The sheep were given to by the Father, were given to the Son. The Son gave His life. The Good Shepherd gave His life for the sheep. The Good Shepherd knows the sheep. The sheep know the Good Shepherd. The sheep were given life everlasting. But the goats into everlasting punishment with the devil and his angels. This is one of the I Am's. I am the light of the world, we saw this morning. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd of the sheep. And we see that here our Lord is the successful Savior. He didn't die for the whole world. He didn't die for those on the left hand as much as He did for those on the right hand. If He died for them on the left hand, then they would be saved. But He gave His life for the sheep. Well, we'll stop here. We've got some other I Am's that we'll look at later on. You can see the Savior that we're speaking is not the Savior that the world talks about. A discriminating Savior. That's not politically correct. We're not trying to be mean. We're not trying to be hateful. We're trying to be honest with the Scriptures. And if there is a reproach that the world wants to give us, let it be for what the Scriptures say. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank You for opening our eyes and giving us light. But we want to always maintain the right spirit and not have any semblance of haughtiness or high-mindedness. For my Father, we did not deserve to be called out of darkness into Your marvelous light. We deserve to be cast into hell. We did not deserve to be a sheep. We did not deserve to be given to the Son. We did not deserve for Christ to die for us. But we believe You did give us to Him and that He did die for us. And we believe that the only reason that we do believe in You is because You worked a work of grace in us. It's not because that we're smarter than anyone else. Not because that we've studied more or studied less. It's not because of who we are or what we are in and of ourselves. For in us that is in our flesh dwells no good thing. But I do delight in loving a successful Savior. I do delight in a God that drew up the perfect plan and for the Lord that took the plan and built the house, as it were. And for the Holy Spirit that takes what is needed and applies it to our hearts and souls. It is indeed amazing that you have set your love upon us. I don't even know, my Father, how to say the words when the Lord Jesus hung on the cross and cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And knowing that he endured such torture and torment because of my own sins, I'm amazed at how cold and hard my heart can be so often. But I do thank you, Father, that from time to time, it's as if you pulled away the callus from my soul. Take the cataracts from my eyes. Remove the hard wax from my ears. And bless my soul to overflow. And to be humbled. And to delight at the same time in the riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I would that it were continually that way. But we will have to wait till glory before our bodies are changed and our souls and everything will be changed to where we'll not be bothered with sin anymore. But I do thank you, my God, and pray for a true heart of repentance and appreciation to thank you more for the door that blessed me to enter in, and for the shepherd that died for my sins. In Jesus' name, amen.